Welcome everybody to ET First Contact Radio on BBS Radio. I have a very nice and special guest tonight, which I had before. His name is Jeffrey West. Welcome to the show, Jeffrey.
Good evening, Martin. Hello, listeners. Very short minute stand-in, but lovely to be here.
Yes, it's wonderful to have you back. And as I understand, you have been traveling around the last couple of months, and you are now back in Canada, where your what is your home country?
Yes. It appears I've managed to teleport or beam myself back to this land for at least a little while.
Good. Back to base, then.
Well, base happens to be wherever one is in each moment of now. I guess it's what you make of it. But life seems to have called me back here for a reason, and I'm just exploring what that reason is and finding out where and how I'm supposed to be in service for the coming near future.
Yeah, the universe is our home, right?
I'm sorry?
I said the universe is our home.
Exactly, yes.
And soon the veil will be lifted and this planet will be a star nation.
Absolutely. Boy, that couldn't happen soon enough. Yesterday, a week ago,
oh, yes.
A year ago.
I'm longing for this time after Ascension, and I think many more people who are listening.
Absolutely.
You know what I did today? The last 5 days, the media in the Netherlands, and I'm sure all around the world, have been repeating stories about 9/11, except the truth, of course. And there's a show in the Netherlands, it's where you can give your opinion. You can say, yes, I agree with this or not. And the question was if it was an idea, whether it's not a good idea not to to have a memorial every year about 9/11. So I called this radio station, which is mainstream media.
Yes.
And I said, can I say something in the broadcast? And the man said, the gentleman said, what do you want to say? So I made up a story, kind of like saying, oh, it's terrible that it happened, and I think we should remember it. And you know what most people are saying, something very general.
Ooh, this sounds like a very sneaky
yes?
story coming up. Exactly. Ooh.
And then there were three callers ahead of me, and they let me in. They called me back, and so I was waiting for my turn, and I had my turn, and I said, well, I agree with this statement that we should remember this tragedy. However, I don't understand why there isn't anybody who is questioning the fact that building number 7 collapsed in 9 seconds. Oh, no, you know, the presenter was like, oh, shit, you know, and and I said, this should be investigated, and I don't understand Dutch media that they are not questioning any of this broadcast and making an analysis or some independent research.
Uh-huh.
You're one of these guys who is believing in this conspiracy theories. I said, I'm not believing in anything. I said, I just keep to the facts, and I ask myself critical questions, and so should you. And then said, okay, thank you, and he hang up. But, you know, Radio 1 is it's a national radio station in the Netherlands, and many people listen to this station, so I could have, I said my thing, and I think it made a lot of people think, like, well, many people are aware, of course.
Yes.
It is amazing that I came through.
Absolutely.
But they were expecting me to talk nonsense like most of the people do.
Well, if that certainly, yeah, we have to, as light workers, we do have to find our power, be willing to step out in our power, temper that with compassion, with the energies of love and light, absolutely. But certainly we have to question the institutions of leadership. We have to question the institutions of media. And as long as we're making the point in a peaceful way, in a non-judgmental way, mm-hmm. then I think the light will back and support that in whichever capacity is for the highest good of all involved.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
So, yeah. So it's a question of, okay, you've done it. That's great. Congratulations. So, the 9/11 issue is certainly... it's touchy. I had hoped that I could get back in time to Canada to line up a possibility of doing some media coverage of the hearings in Toronto that that were set up. For any listeners who may or may not have been aware, there was an international hearing that was set up, and Toronto was chosen because it was close enough to New York, where families of those who had given their lives in service to life in that particular event could attend. So I did not get the chance myself to tune into to all of it. I did not get down to Toronto to participate actively in the hearings, although it appears that a lot of very good information was offered, and in the space of moving this information forward, in truth, you know, a few more seeds can be planted that could take this forward. So, you know, where it goes from here, we can only trust that the light will do, again, what is for the highest good of all involved.
Indeed. And according to Stalusa's message today, the light is taking over, and we are making the change, you know. Of course, together with the Galactic Federation, because they are a force to reckon with. But anyway, we are... If we stand in our power and be positive, it's bringing the change about, and we don't have to wait a lot longer.
No, I think things are, even in the space of what we're witnessing right now in the world, waiting for some kind of a goal. Well, I'm not even sure if we really have to wait, because we're right in the middle of the roller coaster ride right now. So it's just becoming a question now of what will unfold in the very near future moments of now. And you know, this might be an opportunity to invite some of the listeners to either call in or to submit questions.
You know, I was just thinking exactly the same as you do. So the number to call from the States and Canada is 888-815-9756. And if you are calling from abroad, from another continent, it is 001-530-327-7602. And I will repeat, if you're calling from abroad, it is 001-530-327-7602. If you are calling from the States or Canada, it is 4 times 8, quadruple 8, 888-815-9756.
So great. Yeah, hopefully there'll be a few listeners who have questions.
Yes.
With respect to all that's happening, we are ultimately leading towards a period of disclosure, and that is certainly why the work that you're doing is so essential at this particular time. You know, offering a venue where people can connect and share their particular expertise as related to issues surrounding disclosure, or what is known, unknown, or what could be known.
Yes, you know, it's without you guys, like Susanna Spooner and Jeffrey West and Greg and Wendy Zangari and Luke and all the others. If I forget Steve Becko, if I forget somebody, I'm sorry. We are doing this together, and I can sit here in my own and talk to you, and that's what I do sometimes when I have no guest. But if I have interesting guests like you, Jeffrey, then we can make this show interesting. And it's the purpose is for the listeners to get a message out. And there are always interesting things to say here about disclosure. And this is called ET First Contact Radio. I choose an easy name, you know, a name that is... people look for ET First Contact on Google. You know, it's a term. Like, people want to know the truth about extraterrestrials and how they have been engaged in our history of our Earth. And people have it in their gut feelings that there's more going on. So, you know, it's interesting to... For example, a couple of weeks ago, I had a lady from Madagascar. She emailed me from Madagascar, you know, and she said, what time is your show? What time zone is it in Madagascar? And it seemed to be only 1 hour later than in the Netherlands. And if she's listening, she's welcome. Her name is Daniela. But it's amazing, you know, that people are calling me from all countries that you can imagine.
Or and this is, me. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's all right. And it's so nice that, for example, Suna will have a guest from China. He is a independent UFO researcher, a young man, and he's telling me how difficult it is in China with this government, how they are hiding the truth. It's even stronger than in the West, I think, by what she's telling. And I'm not going to mention his real name, because he could be in danger, he could be jeopardized. But he's a wonderful guy, and I think he has a very interesting story to tell, so soon I will have him on the show.
Absolutely. Well, blessed be, and may he be guided and protected in his service to what he's revealing. I guess I'm a little surprised to hear that things are still as tough as they are in China, given all the videos that seem to be getting out.
Now, you know what?
As sightings, I find that almost a little bit surprising.
Yes, it's interesting, because what this friend of me is telling is that in there are a lot of UFO sightings, and airports are closed every now and then, every month, I think, especially in Shanghai. But this guy is saying that as soon as the broadcast about the UFO is put on YouTube, the government takes it away after 3 hours, and he doesn't know why, and it's interesting. But, you know, it's interesting, because the freedoms of the people in China are not as we have here in the West, but at the other hand, the Chinese and Brazil, India and Russia are supporters of disclosure, and the Anglo-American Empire, which is ruled by the Queen of England, because there was an interesting message from Matthew Ward and from Montagie Keane today, and they analyzed the situation, because the United States Declaration of Independence in 1776, it was a hoax. It didn't really happen. In fact, the United States, Canada, and Australia and New Zealand were never independent from the royal family. And it's all being revealed in the message from Matthew Ward and Montage Keane today. It's very interesting.
Correct.
It's a fake democracy. It's a fake freedom. And but this is all going to end soon.
But well, absolutely.
Yeah. What I was getting at is, we're speaking about China, you know, and China, Russia, Brazil, and India, they want disclosure of free energy, and because they are growing economies. And what I understood from David Wilcock is that he had a guest, his name is Benjamin Fulford, and he explained that there was a package sent to all major economies from China with a free energy device, and it should have been opened on October 13, 2010.
Correct.
And if they would open it a day earlier or later, it would explode. And in this package was a free energy device that was really working. So they're really putting up the pressure to the major economies.
Yes. I'm not able to verify or validate that information specifically. I have read it. I'm certainly aware of it. And I do follow aspects of what Benjamin Fulford writes, although there are a couple of things that I'm not quite sure I'm resonating with, but that's okay. I realize that there within all sources there's going to be elements of truth and other pieces of information that perhaps you need to sit with a little bit longer to find out if it's relevant to one's individual truth.
So
any aspect of information might be more relevant to, say, you, for example, than it might be to me, depending upon the life path that we're on.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly while you're talking about, you mentioned David Wilcock, and I have his latest book right here in front of me, The Source Field Investigations. I've begun reading that. I've been doing a little bit of research into the Free Man on the Land movement, how to live outside of government representation. Mm-hmm. I've explored a little bit about the Empire of the City, which is the three sovereign states around the world, the Vatican, London City, and Washington, D.C., which exist as separate sovereign entities.
Exactly, yes, I read it too, yeah.
And also, what many people might not realize is that recently in the U.K., there was a court ruling on May the 12th in the case of Regina versus John Anthony Hill. The authority or the the, yeah, I guess authority, for lack of a better word, of Queen Elizabeth has been invalidated, because when she took her oath, she placed her hand upon the sovereign Bible and swore before the British, or the people of the UK, the Commonwealth, and the people of the world, that she would, to the best of her ability, uphold the law of God. And in the sovereign Bible, in the first five books, apparently it says that man-made law is strictly forbidden. Yes. So what has happened since that time, since Queen Elizabeth first gave royal assent to a piece of man-made legislation, she invalidated her oath. And this is significant because it now invalidates the entire legal system.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, the system that's based on the International Bar Association. Mm-hmm. So any public servant, a judge, a police officer, or a court officer, lawyers, anyone who has an oath to serve the Queen has an oath, therefore, to uphold the law of God and therefore not uphold the law of man, man-made law.
Mm-hmm.
So this article that was released has the potential to radically slow down, if not bring to a halt, the current legal system as we know it. So there's very, very, very strong ramifications for what is beginning to unfold in terms of the freedom movement.
Yeah, that'd be interesting if that would happen. And I think it can happen soon.
Absolutely. And, you know, so far I'm about halfway through David Wilcock's book. And, you know, he's talking about things like the pineal gland, the importance of the pineal gland and the symbolism of the pine cone, which is the part of the midbrain which looks like a pine cone, but it is the alleged part of the body that has the ability to tune in to our higher divine nature, or our galactic awareness, for lack of a better word.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the significance of the pyramid. And even the Vatican was aware of the importance of the symbology of the pine cone, because there is apparently a statue on Vatican property that does look like a pine cone. And numerous traditions have apparently been fully aware of the power of the pine cone. And allegedly that points to the power of the pineal gland within our body.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So
that David's the source field investigations, I think you're referring to.
Yes,
it came in on number 18 on the New York bestseller list.
That, yeah, I think is a very good start. It might have been nice to see it go a little bit higher,
mm-hmm.
but certainly the potential is there. You know, considering the type of material that is in this book. Perhaps an 18 start is exceptional. Maybe that's actually something to celebrate.
Oh yes, yeah, it's amazing. Is it displayed in all general bookstores there in Canada as well?
I have not been in the bookstore myself. My nephew just happened to have the book, so synchronistically, the book found its way into my hands through my nephew. So I know it is available. Certainly a number of bookstores around have it. I just haven't been in to see it. I don't know if they're giving the book a prominent display. This I do not know.
It would be interesting to know.
No, absolutely. But it's. I talked a little bit about the book. I did an interview last week with a station in Toronto, thatchannel.com, a very alternative style network, so very similar to the work that the good people at BBS are doing. They're very open-minded to hearing what people have to say, what people have to share, and they embrace the aspects of truth. So I salute the workers of BBS, the owners of BBS, and the owners and workers at thatchannel.com in Toronto as well.
Very good, Jeffrey. Yes, and I'm very happy to work here together with Douglas and Donald on BBS Radio. Yeah, doing a wonderful job, and you know, there's so many interesting people that are the hosts here. I mean, Patricia Corey, Mike Quincy, James Gilliland, this guy from the, he's a PhD, he was in a DVD from Remote Freedom Projects, what's his name? Dr. Brooks Agnew, yeah, he's very interesting as well. He knows a lot about the Earth changes, the physical changes and the astronomical changes. Very interesting guy, Dr. Brooks Agnew. And there are many more interesting hosts here.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many people who have begun awakening to the inner power, and it's just not in the communications aspect. There are many people who are touching lives in all the different alternative healing branches. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine in the UK, Stellar, who does healing work with 432 hertz.
Yes, it's interesting. You know, yes, I myself make sometimes I make music on based on 432 hertz, which is of course a multiplication of the Schumann resonance, which is 8 hertz, and the old in the 17th century the famous composers composed all their music on 432 hertz, and the Nazis in 1939 pitched it up to 440 hertz, which is a very unnatural vibration, and it is of course with a very dark, sinister reason to lower the vibration of the population of the earth by making all the music in based on the A tone, which is Do Re Mi, in 440 hertz.
Yes. So the universe has, and I'm still learning aspects of all this. I'm certainly not musically inclined, but certainly my friend Stellar is very, very, very versed on all of this and in the work that she does, and she and several friends of hers and those connected in her circles are dedicated to helping bring back in balance humanity and the planet to the universal frequency. The 432 hertz. So it's that in its own way could help to open up the pineal gland of those who are ready, and could help shift people into a slightly different awareness, and that in turn, just by affecting our vibration, therefore offers some aspect of preparation that could connect humanity and prepare humanity for first contact. So to try and bring it back to first contact, since that's what the show is about,
this is
what we're ultimately preparing people for.
Oh, yes. This is ETF for Contact Radio, and the reason that I'm doing this show with such interesting guests is to bring the news out about disclosure, first contact, and the ascension process, in which we'll all become galactic human beings. And in which planet Earth will be a member of a larger star nation. And according to the information from Sheldon Idle, Venus, the Earth, Mars, and Maldek will be the water planets and be our base from our star system. If you're in the US or Canada and you have a question to Jeff or me or a comment, anything you want to say, to share, you can call 888-815-9756. And if you're calling from abroad, it's 001-530-327-7602 to speak with me or with Jeffrey if you have an interesting story to tell. Be my guest and call this number, 001-530-327-7602, or if you are in the States or Canada, it is 4 times 8, 888-815-9756. And if I may do a suggestion, Jeffrey.
Okay.
I have Laura Pentia online, which is Laura Tycho, or Tycho Mars. She has a website called 2012indieinfos.wordpress.com. And I asked her if she wants to join the show. We can make it a nice, galactic cafe, maybe. And I'm going to ask Steve Becko as well if he wants to join.
Sure. It's just while you're bringing people in, and there might be some people out there who are interested in the 432 hertz and doing a little bit more research and understanding. And my friend Stellar's website is www.starsistrum.com. STARSISTRUM, as in mother. com. So you can feel free to tune in or check in that website if any of the listeners are interested in exploring more about the frequencies and the balancing.
All right, that's interesting. Yes. And I know another guy in the Netherlands. He has a website called www.goto2012.nl, Netherlands. And he's also a producer of 432 32 hertz. His name is René Klaver, and you can download his CD for €5, I think. But it's very well done.
Cool. Great. Well, it's the listeners are probably no doubt feeling some degree of confusion with everything that's unfolding, and even I, when I talk to some people, they feel different aspects of pressure. A lot of things are coming up for healing in people's lives at this point in time. Many are having difficulty trying to understand why certain things are happening. They know that something is happening. They don't understand why their personal lives are going through certain changes, why the job is suddenly no longer meaningful, why a relationship might be starting to break down suddenly when it wasn't before, when everything was fine before. They see things like 9/11 memorials. They see things like videos of ships from our galactic families appearing in the skies. They hear about the truth of the Rupert Murdoch scandals. They hear this, they hear that, they see this, they see that. And things are very interconnected at this point in time. And it's becoming, even for an established light worker, to grasp the bigger picture in terms of what is currently unfolding, gets a little bit overwhelming. And even I, to a certain degree, in the face of all that I am, of all the resources that are now coming out on the internet, all the people who are doing such wonderful work, we just can't connect with everything anymore. Whereas 5 years ago, I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's indeed a bit overwhelming, everything that's coming out, all the information. And also the channels are becoming more specific now, like Salusa via Mike Quincy, but also via Laura Tycho. And they're becoming more specific and giving out more details.
Yes. And to begin piecing all of this together, it will require each individual to really pay closer attention to his or her path. There are people like me who try to cover the broader range of what's happening, you know, as far as the truth movement, through the spiritual changes, through to disclosure and ascension. My work tries to touch on all aspects, and there are many who are doing very specific aspects. So depending on what each individual needs in this moment, some people need more of the truth movement to understand that things are not working. Some people are beyond that. They don't need to hear more about the truth movement, but they want to start hearing more about disclosure and about ascension.
Oh, yes.
But trying to bring it all together, you know, finding those pieces that help each individual establish a relation to what my work calls life, capitalized, you know, being able to connect to that ever-evolving process of oneness. And, you know, and to be able to make choices that not only honor one's self, but to honor others, to honor our planet, honor what will soon be a relation with our galactic families.
Yes, and your work and your website is called www.greenprintforlife.com, right?
.org.
Oh, .org, yes. Greenprintforlife.org.
Yes.
And you are also busy writing a book.
I have been in the process of updating my book. I wrote a book several years ago, and I talked about a number of things that were not working in the past. I looked at institutions of leadership. I looked at numerous declarations made by the United Nations. I even looked at my alma mater, the UN-mandated University for Peace. It's a matter of exploring what is not working. And in the space of doing my thesis to support my work, A Green Print for Life, I found that the word peace is currently lacking in a broadly accepted holistic definition. And certainly, you know, one aspect of my work is to offer a broad and but very specific and bold definition for the word peace based on one's relation to life. But I've updated a lot of this information to talk about a bit more about the legal system, why the legal system is no longer lawful and it's very corrupt and fraudulent. Why the banking system is corrupt and fraudulent. Why, you know, I talk a bit about the empire of the city to introduce people to this concept that there are sovereign territories that have been responsible for the enslavement of humanity. I expose a little bit more about disclosure, talk a bit more of the sources that people can connect to, especially about disclosure, because my honest feeling is that as we move towards the issue of disclosure, the other issues will begin to look after themselves. We can spend a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of money focusing on very specific issues, but the nature of my work is to try and go right back to the source. Let's focus on trying to get something out that will be the domino that starts the whole thing rolling. And at this moment in time, I feel that disclosure will be that door that once it's opened, the floodgates of truth, the floodgates of light, and the floodgates of love are going to begin to move rapidly through planetary and human consciousness.
Right, that's beautifully put, Jeffrey. And with the subject of disclosure, what is your feeling about the development of the overall process of the preparations? For example, are you also following Wanderer of the Skies messages?
I have been following Wanderer of the Skies. I know a message came out, I think, less than a week ago, and I did look at it right off the top of my head. I don't have all the details in my mind to comment specifically. But there are a number of sources that seem to have given accreditation or support to what Wanderer of the Skies is offering, certainly what Laura is offering, Laura Tycho, mm-hmm. what Steve is offering, what Mike Kinsey is offering, and certainly numerous others who perhaps aren't gaining as much prominence at this time. And I'm not quite sure why that's the case. I mean, there are many people who have offered messages, say, for example, from the Hathors, Tom Kenyon's work,
or yes, I know.
Yes. Who does Pleiadian work. Mm-hmm. They, perhaps at this moment in time, those particular messages may or may not be necessary. And I want to be really careful because I don't want to say that they are less important. They are not less important. They just may be more focused on a particular area of focus, whereas Salusa and maybe the Syrians appear to have a more prominent role in this particular moment of now. Their area of specialty perhaps could be to help move the communications forward in preparation for disclosure. The Hathors may have a particular skill that will assist in another sense of awakening.
Right, and I think it's interesting that you speak about the awakening process, because there are many people now, even people that are not necessarily involved in the spiritual movement and in the New Age movement or the UFO movement, which are all interconnected. But you see that people, that the news items that are coming out on the mainstream media now, you know, the increase of earthquakes, hurricanes, the financial situation. And people are starting to understand that there's something bigger and larger going on. And I think many people who were previously not informed are starting to question the authorities and the media and starting to do their own research on the internet.
That certainly has been one of the key factors, and perhaps when the elitist cabals are originally set up the internet, or whomever was originally responsible for setting up the internet, they probably never fully envisioned a day when humanity would begin to awaken and take advantage of the internet in the way that people are now beginning to take advantage of it. They probably expected that if they offered more media, 500 and some odd satellite channels of 24/7, 365 entertainment, pornography, this or war games or computer violence, and all of this. They figured if they could keep people in debt, in separation, and in fear, then they would not explore any more of what the internet really had to offer, but something somewhere along the way, I guess, the light just got hold of it, and it was part of what was needed to happen in order to help humanity begin to turn the tables on the systems of enslavement that we have been that we have allowed ourselves to become prisoner to.
Exactly, and yeah, there's coming a lot of disinformation through. Also, you have to be very careful because sometimes you get very uplifting messages, which are very positive and contributing and giving you insight in the situation, the overall situation. But sometimes you really get messages that are very ambiguous. There's a part truth in it and a part untruth, and there's of course a third category with messages that are just bogus and really meant to keep you in fear and to stay in the illusion. And that's not only from the mainstream media. You have to be careful with internet as well.
Correct. Yeah, the power of the internet is even more than I think what a lot of people are grasping, and it's turning the tables on the elitists, but that had to happen. And certainly the consciousness level is where it is right now because there was a process in place that allowed people to take advantage of it. And that ideally is what it is all about. I mean, somewhere along the way, someone was able to, quote unquote, whistleblow a certain piece of information that allowed more and more people to connect to a certain aspect. So in sharing parts on the internet and various other sites, it's and using that technology. So sorry, I just got momentarily distracted there, but
all right.
It's all a part of the shift, and right. And certainly our galactic families are there to facilitate and assist in this transformation and this shift in planetary and human consciousness. So, and it's happening all over the world. I mean, we tune in for the people all over the world tuning into you, listening to you, and I have people around the world who follow aspects of my work. I know, you know, there's several people tuning in right now from around the world.
Oh yes,
you know, my friend Stellar's tuning in. I have a friend Irina in the Ukraine who is now tuning in. So it's moving out. It's moving out and connecting. So, you know, this is to be celebrated. It's a time for awakening.
Yes, we are. I think we are both. We found each other, my friend, and I must say that since we worked together in the spring, whenever we have contact, we have a great contribution of information to each other that's uplifting. But not only information, it's also about energy, you know? Because yes. If you have a fellow light worker, traveler, like you and I, when we get together, we multiply the energy of awakening of ourselves and others with our thought patterns and with our energies.
Yes, everything is energy, and we have no way of understanding exactly how our energies have the potential to affect the energies of all others around us. It can be in the most slightest of ways, and in the space of what we are thinking of within ourselves, you know, our thought energy, our spoken energy, our physical action energy sends out a larger message.
Oh, and that was myself talking.
I wasn't sure what was coming back to me there.
Yeah, and I was opening the website of BBS Station 1 to give the link to somebody who wants to listen. So it was looping back. But anyway, could you repeat what you just last said?
Essentially, everything is energy. And in the space of where an individual is in his or her moment now and what his or her relation is to life, we can look at another aspect of life, and the moment we impose a judgment or a feeling or some kind of interpretation of another piece of energy, we are beginning to affect it. Mm-hmm. And that in turn comes out in the larger circle. So when we eat food. Let's just look at something as simple as eating food. A researcher many years ago, Cleve Baxter, has shown that plants react with the energetic equivalent of fear that humans experience. They experience the energetic equivalent of terror, of I don't know if I would say pain, but whatever the energetic equivalent of that is. Everything that we do to another aspect of life, if we are not in a space of gratitude, if we're not in a space of love, we are imposing a negative energy. And this puts a bit of a hole into the campaign of the people who are vegetarians, because they say they don't support cruelty towards animals. But in reality, plants experience much the same as what animals do and what humans do. So it opens up another door for understanding. And
yeah, right now.
In this space. Go ahead, yeah?
Yeah, no, it's exactly true what you're saying, because it is interesting that you're saying this about plants, that they are also picking up those energies. Because when I was in England this summer, late July, I met a druid, a real druid, one of the last in his kind, of their kind. And he said humankind descended from trees. And that's very interesting, and contradiction to the evolutionary theory, because the shape of a tree is also vertical, you know, like we are, and it's not just the physical nature of this, of the creation of a tree or a human being. It's also the energetic blueprint that's in a tree and in a human being, and I think both of them are very similar.
It perhaps comes a little bit back to the work, well, at least one aspect of work that I'm familiar with that Greg Braden does. He talked about the God Code, and he found a numeric matrix that explains that within the human DNA, or within any aspect of DNA life, there is a connection to the God source. So, for example, the original name of God was Yahweh, and the four letters that are associated with Yahweh are YHVH. In the space of his research, he was able to equate the Y, H, and V to a numeric code that links up with the periodic table of the elements. And he found that those equate to hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen, which are the non-physical aspects of divine life. And when he explored further the DNA for physical human beings, he found that there was a comparison that human in physical form is YHVG, G being the Hebrew letter for Gimel, having a certain numeric code, which I think is the number 3, which equates to the carbon element of the periodic table of the elements. So, you know, it's a bit more complicated than this, but essentially what he has done is show that the non-physical name of God, YHVG, equates to a physical name of God, or sorry, YHVH, equates to a physical God, YHVG, which essentially describes everything in physical form that we are right now around us. Everything is divine in an aspect of energetic life.
That's interesting that you're saying this. however, you have to be careful with the pronouncing the word Yahweh, because as I understand from this druid, Yahweh that different religions use is a creator god with not good intentions. He's creator god with immense powers, which is not working for the light. And because in the spiritual hierarchy there are enormous powers from the good and from the opposite of good, which are of course experiences and parts of the unity of the creator of all that is, that wants to experience life through different beings and entities, and it goes beyond eternity. But you should be careful with this name.
So, that's there is a historical, I guess even a biblical aspect to that name. It's allegedly a name that was never really supposed to be mentioned.
Exactly.
In their lives. So, absolutely.
The Jewish community where I have been part of before eight years ago, I've lived in Israel and done work with autistic children. I have helped them with a special method from Professor Feuerstein. And I was able to sit down with very wonderful, loving families celebrating Shabbat. And I've learned a lot about the Jewish tradition and how they never, ever pronounce this name. Because it can evoke energy patterns, that, as I understand, that can be very, very powerful.
Well, I might be inclined, if I let spirit kind of move through me, I guess I might be inclined to offer that perhaps religion did not want people to be able to make a connection such as this.
That's very possible, yes.
So in the space of religion using its messages of fear to try and keep people separated from divine source. Exactly. So in other words, the power of God could only come from a divine source that is beyond who we are, and the religions needed their power, needed that separation in order to maintain a position of power as the alleged bridge between humanity and the God or the divine source, so to speak.
You see this especially in Christian tradition, especially the evangelist church communities all around the world, especially in the Netherlands and the United States. They very much hang on to being less than God and less than Jesus and... well, it's just a total way of giving away your power.
Right. And that is exactly how the institutions of leadership have been able to maintain that essence of power and control. So and that also explains why the institutions of leadership are beginning to collapse. People mm-hmm. are awakening to that. People are beginning to question.
Yes, some churches people are running empty. People are not going to the services anymore and starting to do their own work with yoga and meditation and Tai Chi. But we have only a couple of minutes left, Jeffrey. It was wonderful to have you on the show. If I may, I would like to conclude with part of a webinar from Sheldon Neidl, in which he speaks about disclosure and the collapse of the old system. And I have cut it out with the editing program. It's just a couple of minutes, but it's very accurate and very wonderful information.
Well, I think that would be an appropriate, very appropriate way to end the show, to bring people back to the theme of disclosure, absolutely.
Exactly. Thank you very much, my friend. I'm giving you energetic hugs and also to the listeners. And I will be back in 2 weeks on BBS, because since now I have a bi-weekly show. If you want to help me financially to maintain doing the shows, there's no must or it's not a request, but if it's from the heart, you can email me via my profile page on BBS, and which is bbsradio.com/ET First Contact Radio. My email address is there. And I want to thank you, Jeffrey, and blessings to you.
And thank you so much, Martin. Wonderful to join you on short notice. It was great to be here. Blessings of love and light to you and all the listeners as well.
Yes, and blessings to BBS and to the disclosure process, because soon all this difficult situation with money and things like that will be of the past, when Nezar will be announced together with UFO disclosure, when we will live in abundance.
There we go. We can all step into light and into our greatest capacity of service to life for the highest good of all involved.
Exactly. Okay, engage number one.